So last time we recorded, you promised everyone a talk about Maleficent.
Yeah. So yeah, it's okay. Well, A, it's July right now. I saw Maleficent back in May. So, I mean, I think we all saw Maleficent. If you were going to see Maleficent, you saw Maleficent already.
Not according to numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, box office numbers. It's still in the top five.
Yeah, well, this is a weak summer. Well, no, I shouldn't. Quality-wise, I actually think this is one of the better summers.
It's just been weak since May, I think.
Yeah, just for some reason, numbers. Like, nothing's really popping.
Not really in all of June. Like until Transformers, there was like four or five weeks where like there was nothing,
which is a damn shame because there's literally, I don't think there's been a time in a while, and no one's talking about it, which is weird. Like I remember last summer, everyone was like, "Oh, it's the end of movies." It's, you know, but now it's like everything. There's like I sound like that Fred Armisen character. There's like four movies on theaters right now, or like in my phone that on Flixster have like 90s.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, it's a really good quality summer.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I think the problem is, like, we were front-loaded, and then now, like, starting this week, we're going to be back-loaded with good stuff.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. It's just weird. I find it weird that Hollywood is just sort of like, oh, Transformers has claimed all of June. Like, even the part of June that it didn't open for, let's just to be on the safe side, let's not put anything out.
Because it's just going to, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, you know, wow, this weekend's like 12% down from last weekend. It's like, I wonder why.
Yeah.
I mean, just this one of the weirdest July 4th weekends movie-wise in a long time.
Oh, yeah. But I think that was, there's a specific reason for that. I think a movie left. There was going to be a big budget movie that opened July 4th weekend.
See, I assumed it was to get the hell out of the way of Transformers.
No, there was something that was going to open that weekend and it got pushed back or something. Okay. Was it the Wachowskis movie? Was that opening?
That was supposed to come out like July 15th.
Okay, so it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. There was something, but it was like, it was a big, a pretty major tentpole movie and it got pushed back like a lot.
Sure.
I don't remember what it was, but I know that that's why it's a weird 4th of July weekend.
Because it was like Tammy. You know what I mean? Tammy was like the biggest release. And like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet.
No. I don't really plan to.
I feel like I've already seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Melissa McCarthy movies right now. She's like, until she starts doing something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like St. Vincent.
Right, exactly, like St. Vincent. I'm excited about that. Although that's a Bill Murray movie, not a Melissa McCarthy movie.
Sure. But, you know, I mean, like, Bridesmaids was a Kristen Wiig movie.
It's true. Was the last time that there was, like, a big, like a movie that was, like, a big hit and had a particular lead actor, and then it was actually the side actor that sort of like stole the movie and became a huge success.
Besides Bridesmaids?
Yeah, when was the last time that happened?
Despicable Me, I guess.
Despicable. I don't know if cartoons count.
Those beans became really popular.
Those popcorn kernels?
Yeah. maybe like... Oh, this is going backwards. I was going to say like The Hangover, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's exactly right.
But then all three of those cats ended up actually being pretty big.
But I would say Galifianakis, like off the first one, it was Galifianakis for sure. Totally. I don't think like Ed Helms became a guy in movies, and really he's not a guy in movies. It's not like he's a leading man in anything.
He's always just like a dude that you're like, oh, Ed Helms is in this. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Rob Riggle.
Right. Like he was just in. He was in like a handful of scenes in that. They came together.
Yeah. Oh my god, that movie.
Yeah, no, that was hysterical. That movie was great.
The first joke of that movie is Paul Rudd drinking out of a wine glass.
Yeah.
And it doesn't let up from there.
Yeah. No, Bethany and I, my girlfriend Bethany, we watched it Friday night or Saturday night, and then we just quoted it the rest of the weekend. I think it was Friday night. We just quoted it the rest of the weekend at each other. Like, anytime we didn't hear what the other person was saying, we'd be like, the fuck did you say? Like, every time. What the fuck are you saying?
Did you watch it at home or at a theater?
At home, iTunes rental.
Oh, us too. Did you know, by us too, I mean me and my platonic friend, Hunter, and Chandler. Did you know Snowpiercer hits VOD like next week?
Oh, that's good. That'll be good for Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Although I can't recommend anyone not seeing that in theaters.
No, yeah, with a big crowd, you know?
Yeah, well, and just on the big screen, because it's just so, like...
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's just, like, so, like, cool and world-buildy, and I don't know. It's just, it's like, the set design in that movie. Oh, it's my like God. If
Terry Gilliam and John Carpenter had a baby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just described it as Mad Max on a train.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's such a good movie.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
Not like Maleficent.
Yeah, so Maleficent, like, disaster,
so,
huh?
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's made a lot of money, but thematically, it is kind of, like, it is kind of a sinkhole. It is like, kind of an earthquake of story. Because, like, I was, oh, my God. Okay, so, I'm going to walk you through Maleficent. Because okay. I really just need to, like, walk you through it like a house, you know?
Okay.
And be like, okay, you see how this door just kind of leads into a wall? You don't do that. You know what I mean?
Isn't it like, it's like, what is it, like 70% a remake of the animated movie, right?
Well, it's kind of 70% a middle finger to Sleeping Beauty. Okay, so like the movie starts and it's a lady. It's a woman's voice, and she's like, "You may think you know the story, but in reality, it's quite different." And then, like, All Star by Smash Mouth starts playing, and like
that is really... that no really
no no
okay
no.
Okay, I was just gonna be like, "Whoa, this is worse than I thought."
Yeah. Somebody want, and then it's Maleficent just going brushing her teeth.
Oh man, okay.
So it starts, and it's like this super color, to its credit, a super colorful antithesis to like Snow White and the Huntsman, like fairy world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's very colorful and unabashedly like childlike and whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is the fairy world. And it shows like a little girl with like hawk wings like riding around. And it's kind of, I couldn't figure out if it was being like spoofy. Because she was like, "Hello, Mr. Magpie." And the magpie would be like, "Oh, Maleficent." And like, "Hello, Mr. Bullfrog." "Oh, Maleficent, have some tea. Come and saw it. Meet the missus." Like, it was like that.
Uh-huh.
Just like, she's just fucked on happiness. Just, she's so about being in fairyland. And like, there's, and then like a big tree comes up. And it's like, "Maleficent, there's a man in the woods." And she's like, "I got it." And then she like goes, and this like little Scottish kid. Oh, 5% of the population in this movie have Scottish accents, and the rest speak in like neutral.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Almost like it doesn't matter. And so.
It's a choice, I guess.
Sure. And so this boy is like, "I stole it." No, I'm not even going to try and do it. I stole this thing. And Maleficent's like, "Well, you got to give it back." And he's like, "You're pretty." And she's like, "All right." And then Maleficent's actually kind of like, "Oh, a boy. You know, I've never met things that aren't like green screen before. This is really cool." And so like she leads him out of the woods, and he's like, "Hey, can we hang out?" And they're like, "Yeah, yeah." And it's like, "Yeah, okay, can be like our always." And Maleficent's like, "Okay." And the boy's like, "Okay." And then like he runs away. And so like the boy and Maleficent become like buddies, like, you know, like first love, kind of like Stand By Me or like My Girl, like friends, you know what I mean?
Okay.
She shows him like the trees and the woods.
And then he dies because he gets stung by a bunch of bees.
Yes. Love is like, "He doesn't have his glasses. I'm going to become evil because of this." And then eventually the boy's like, "You know what I want to do, Maleficent?" Maleficent's like, "What, babe?" And he's like, "I want to be the king. Because like right now I'm just some fucking like poor stable boy, but I'm going to make a name for myself. I want my life to be epic. I want people to remember me. I want to, he actually is kind of like Augustus Waters now that I was being facetious, but, and so the boy one day just like fucks off and stops coming over. And Maleficent's like, oh, I really liked him. Oh, well. And then she grows up to be Angelina Jolie and she has like wings and horns and she wears like all brown. And the man part of the world, the human part of the world, is like, hey, we're running out of land. We want that fairy land. Give us that fairy land. The fairies are like, nah, bro. And so periodically, the man, the king, will lead armies to like try and kill off the fairy folks. And then Maleficent will just be like, fight with me now. And then like, you know, the fairy folk will come out and just like, you know, kick the humans in the butt and they'll run away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in one instance of this happening, the human king is mortally wounded. And he's dying in his bed. And he's like, I'll give my crown to whoever brings me that bitch's wings in a sack. Oh, and, God. And not a quote from the movie.
Okay.
But, and so all of the knights are like, we're not going in there. But there's like a chaplain, like a manservant, you know what I mean? Like a holy, like a monk kind of. Mm-hmm. And it's Sharlto Copley. And Sharlto Copley's like, oh, I'll do it. And that is actually the boy grown up.
And he's like, Copley is?
Yeah, Sharlto Copley is the little boyfriend all grown up.
Oh, okay. So it's not the king guy.
No.
Okay.
And all so right. He's like, oh my God, this is my chance. So he goes to Maleficent, and Maleficent's like, what's up, bro? You don't call, you don't write, you know, like I don't show a lot of people like what I showed you. I thought you were something special. And Sharlto's like, oh, Maleficent, I love you. Let's hang out. And so they hang out. And
so he's got the Scottish accent.
Yeah, he has a Scottish accent.
Is it good?
I don't know anymore. I don't even know if Sharlto Copley's a good actor at this point. I just because after like this and like Elysium.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's just really, really interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He kind of
feels like I don't know. He's just a weird actor just because like I don't like
he's kind of like Nicolas Cage.
I guess. Yeah, I guess like, so.
I don't know if this is good or not, but I can't look away, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. He's sort of a poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, I mean, he swings for the fences every time. He's never turned in a subdued performance.
Yeah.
And so there's a scene where they're by the brook, and Levin's like, ah, ha, ha, we will rule. You know, you're okay. And he's like, oh, yeah, are you thirsty? Drink this toadstool. And, you know, she drinks a toadstool, and she's like, seventh floor, pajamas, and she passes out. It was a roofie. It was like a magical roofie.
Okay.
And Maleficent, and then, you know, Sharlto Copley's like, well, straight to it. And he pulls out like a dagger. And then he's about to, like, you know, do the deed. And then he's like, I can't do it. She's so fair. I'll know. And then he doesn't kill her, but he does remove her wings with a knife.
That's super dark for it a is kid's
very,
movie.
It is very dark. And I was in. At this point, I was like, okay, you know what I mean? This is cool because it's Maleficent. You want her origin story to be a little bit dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the king's like, I did it. Oh, Sharlto Copley's like, I did it, king. I murdered her. The witch is dead. And he's like, congratulations. Here's the crown. Go nuts. And now I am the dead. And then he's like, all hail Sharlto, king of the Scots. So Sharlto's king. He's king now.
Oh, okay.
But everyone thinks Maleficent is dead.
Okay.
And then cut to like a genuinely, like, really emotionally raw scene where she wakes up and discovers that her wings are gone. And, you know, there's like kind of like that Angelina Jolie, like rage crying, you know?
Yeah. She's got to be in some like crazy pain too, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because she wakes up and she's like, ow, ow, oh my God. I mean, not like that, but, you know, she, and it's real. And you're like, oh, Angelina Jolie's a really good actress.
Right.
And I was in, you know, I was still in at this point.
Okay.
And then she's like, okay, you know, MacGruber don't play like Homie, and Homie don't play like that. I'm gonna eat this guy. And so she she like wakes up and she wanders back into the fairy folk stuff, and they're like, oh, Maleficent. She's like, not right now. And she wanders out and she kind of banishes herself. And I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be so cool. She's gonna like go out and have adventures and come back, like, you know what I mean? She's gonna be like freaking like Heisenberg, you know?
Uh-huh.
She's gonna like freaking, and then she meets a crow and she turns the crow into a dude. And then I'm trying to remember what else. Okay. I'm trying to remember what point. Okay, then cut to, okay, this is it. So she has a crow, right? The crow, let's go. And then cut to 18 years later, or like a long time later. And you're like, whoa, wait, what happened to like the journey, right? Like, and then cut to the birth of Aurora. No, Aurora's already been born. Cut to the beginning of Sleeping Beauty. You know, like, hail to the king, hail to the queen, hail to the princess Aurora, but they don't do that. It's not beautiful. It's just like, you know.
How many minutes into this, are we
maybe
now?
Maybe 15, 20?
Wow, they burnt through all that in like 15, 20
minutes? Yeah, that was
like
a prologue. Huh. And so it's, you know, and then like the fairies come out. And, okay, did you ever see Fred Claus? Remember the elves and Fred Claus? Remember how like unsettling and weird that was?
I don't remember it being super.
How they would just like, they would like green screen the actor's face over like.
Oh, right. Over little people. Yeah. Well, it was like, weren't they like, they were like the Oompa Loompas in the remake, right?
Kind of, but even worse, because with that, they just took a little person, Deep Roy, and then had him like act out on a green screen, and then they would just add that to the movie. And
yeah.
Okay. So in this one, they just kind of like superimpose an actor's face onto a CG body, and it's really just unsettling. And that's what they do to the fairies, the three fairies, Flora, Fauna, and Merryweather. But now their names are like Bleep Blorp and like Thistlethwaite. You know, like, for some reason they're like, well, we can't use the same names because it's Disney. Wait, we're Disney. I don't think about it. And like, yeah, it's so weird. They don't have their names aren't Flora, Fauna, and Merryweather.
That's, well, what? What's even the point at that?
Like, yeah,
why are you doing this?
And it's Emilia. It's Emilia Staunton. I can't remember who plays the blue one, but then Merryweather is, or the younger one is played by Juno Temple, and they are the worst characters in a movie I've seen this year. Okay, so in Sleeping Beauty, the fairies were like funny but like warm and nurturing and good natured. And this one, they're like the Three Stooges. Like, they're always like bumping into each other and like knocking each other on the head and like making weird noises and arguing and bickering. And I'm just like, what do you gain by doing this? And so that's happening. It's like, my gift is the gift of like slapstick comedy. Mine is the gift of saying words wrong. And then Maleficent comes in, and it's actually kind of cool because it's literally shot for shot like the scene from Sleeping Beauty. And she's already in her regalia. She's all decked out in black, and she's already like, I'm Maleficent now. And everyone's like, well, that would have been cool to see. And then she's like, I curse the baby with the thing where it goes to sleep. But the thing is, there's a part which is actually kind of cool where Charlton's like, please spare her somehow, do something. And Maleficent's like, okay, dick, there's one thing that can stop the spell. And she looks at the king, and he's like, she's like, true love. And you're like, oh, because like Charlton had told Maleficent that what they had was true love. And so that was kind of like a middle finger. It's like, okay, true love, because Maleficent doesn't think true love really exists. So,
oh, okay.
So, but it was kind of like a non-spell in her mind. You know what I mean? And right. So this is when we start to take the exit into bullshit town. So like the king is like mad with paranoia. So he burns all the spinning wheels. He burns all the, he goes crazy. He sends like Tweedledee and Tweedledum and Tweedle Fairy to take Aurora into the woods, which is like, why would you? I wouldn't trust them with like my apartment.
I'm going to burn all of the spinning wheels in the kingdom, and then I'm going to send her out of the kingdom where there could be spinning wheels all willy-nilly, wherever.
Wild spinning wheels running across open plains.
They could just be everywhere. I don't know, but it's safer out there. Yeah, that seems like logic that works. Yeah.
So they okay, and I'm going to try and because I've been joshing around. I'm going to genuinely try and describe what really happens word for word and not over exaggerate so you can get a sense of just what happens in this movie. So,
okay.
Aurora is taken under the care of the three fairies. And Maleficent and the Crowpoke watch her grow up from afar, like while sitting on trees and hiding behind bushes, until the baby grows up to be 16. Just okay. Sits there, kind of watches. Every once in a while, she'll make like a catty, like, oh, look how ugly the baby is, because I'm a bad guy. I don't think babies are cute. I think they're gross, because I'm a bad guy.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Look, the baby's about to fall off a cliff. I'm going to help it, though, because I'm not a bad guy. There's a part where the baby like wanders off a cliff because the fairies are like trying to paint a wall and they keep like saying who's on first or something. And like and like the baby Aurora wanders off a cliff and then Maleficent's like, oh look, it's going to fall off a cliff. Bloop, and like saves it. And I'm like, wait. Why do you want the baby to live? And if she had said, because I want the baby to die by my spell, cool, but she never does. She never says anything like that. She just like she ends up, Scott, protecting Aurora throughout her life. There's a scene where the three like dummies can't like get food together. They're just like throwing eggs at each other and like falling in like cake batter, and the baby's like crying from hunger pains. And
so basically they didn't want to make their bad guy a bad guy because she's the main
exactly.
character.
And okay. So then Maleficent like will send the crow out to like, you know, feed Aurora. And then eventually Aurora grows up to be Elle Fanning. And Elle Fanning, okay, so there's a part in this movie where Maleficent is like, bring Aurora to me, Crowpoke. And Crowpoke's like, I got it. And then Crowpoke like flies over and like enchants Aurora and takes her to Fairyland. And then Aurora's like, oh, hey, who are you? And Maleficent's like, you need to leave.
Wait, but she asked her to come there? So is it like for show? Is she like saying you need to leave because she's like, I need to put on a, is she like putting her on
if
a performance?
If it is, we like, missed that scene. And then,
okay. She could, like, is she trying to like tempt her to go find a spinning wheel? So
she never brings it up once. And then Aurora's like, you seem fun and you're not like tragically inept at like raising humans. I'll hang out with you. And so Maleficent and Aurora in a montage start like bonding and like palling.
So, okay, let me see if I can guess how this goes. Okay, so she's bonding with Maleficent.
You know, so, the dame of all evil.
Maleficent, right. So Maleficent, through bonding with her, realizes that she can have true love that doesn't necessarily mean romantic love, and that she could be like totally cool with this girl and like sort of like a motherly sort of relationship, and she's totally in love with her. But unfortunately, her stupid curse has Aurora like accidentally pricking her finger and going to sleep, and Maleficent is like, oh no, what have I done? She was really cool and now she'll never wake up because true love isn't real.
Yes. That's okay. 100% yes. There's a part after like 2 minutes of bonding where she tries to revoke the spell while Aurora is sleeping, thus absolving her of any guilt and moral gray.
Right.
And then just Philip just falls out of a tree, and like Aurora,
who plays
some
Philip?
Dick, I don't know, some kid. I don't know. He might be a nice guy. And Elle Fanning is like, "Who are you? I'm Prince Philip. I love you. I love you too. Bye." And I'm just curious. One scene. Maybe a page. Maybe.
Well, to be fair, the source material doesn't exactly do anything more than that.
At least we got Once Upon a Dream out of it.
Yeah, I guess
that's true. Okay, so like, anyway, and so then...
Let me ask you something. Where's the owl that acts like a prince? Where's that?
No, he didn't make
Does that happen in this? My favorite part of Sleeping Beauty.
The horse isn't there either.
The owl being like, "Ooh, I'm a prince."
Yeah. Philip's funny horse isn't in this either. I mean, he has a horse, but
it's not a funny horse.
And so, okay, so a bunch of other stuff happens. Aurora finds out that Maleficent was the one to place the curse on her. She's like, "Mom," and so she runs back to the kingdom. She pricks her finger. Philip comes, and it's like, "I love you, Smooch," and it doesn't work. And Maleficent's like, "See, true love isn't real. I told you. I love you, Aurora." Aurora wakes up. It was Maleficent's true love for Aurora. And then the king's like, "But you still have to die." And then Maleficent kills the king. And then
you mean her new BFF's father?
And then Aurora and Maleficent go to live in Fairyland together.
Oh, so Aurora's totally cool with it.
Couldn't give less of a shit. And then Maleficent and Aurora are just like, you know, hanging around, and freaking like "I'm a Believer" starts playing, and all the fairy folk are dancing, and like the narrator comes back and it's like, "And that's what really happened with the story of Sleeping Beauty, and I should know because I'm Aurora." Wink. By credits.
Okay.
So Disney, by its own hand, neutered its greatest villain. Yeah. Just took a scalpel and extracted anything interesting about her.
My guess, if I had to guess as to how this movie happened, my guess would be that Paul Dini, who is the original writer.
Famous for Batman the Animated Series.
Right. Great writer. Some of the best episodes of Batman the Animated Series. My guess is that he did the first treatment on this, and he may have even pitched on it. Like, it may have even been a thing where he was like, "Oh, you know," he could have just been having lunch with somebody and been like, you know, maybe they were talking about like Disney characters that they have that they could do movies with, that only they could do movies with. And Maleficent is like on like a list of like five people. 'Cause you know, at the end of the day, when you look at all of their cartoons, they're all based on fairy tales and things, even Sleeping Beauty. But Maleficent is a Sleeping Beauty, the movie character. It's not like she's in the original legend. Like, there's a witch, but it's not Maleficent. So, you know, he probably said, "Oh, well, Maleficent's really interesting. And you know, I bet her backstory is kind of cool," because you never really know why she's such a dick. And he probably figured out this whole backstory and pitched it. And they were like, "That's great. Why don't you write it?" And so then he writes that first draft of it, which I would love to read. And then at that point, Angelina Jolie gets attached. And then she's like, "Well, I want to be Maleficent, and that's cool and everything. But if I'm going to be the lead, don't you think I should be a hero?" And Disney's like, "Oh, yeah, of course you should be. Absolutely." And Paul Dini's like, "But that's kind of missing the point of her being a bad guy, isn't it?" And Disney's like, "Sorry, who are you? Bye." Angelina Jolie's talking. Do you see her cheekbones? I don't know who you are. And yeah, and then they brought in new writers, and then that's how we got this monstrosity.
And like, okay, look, here's how you make a good... I'm not going to say that. Here's how I think a good Maleficent movie could have gone. So, like, keep Act 1. Some people wrote articles about how, because, like, the whole cutting off the wings thing was kind of like an allegory for rape. I'm like, keep that, because that's fascinating and dark and disturbing. and sure. interesting. Keep that.
Sure.
And it's such a great, dark, twisted origin story for a villain and not a hero. That's not how we get Spider-Man. That's how we get Dr. Octopus. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like one bad day. You know, like that theory. And so right. have Maleficent leave, right? And then go yeah. off and have freaking, I don't know, adventures. She just sat on a tree for like 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is like, I don't know.
Amass her army. Do like...
You could certainly do adventures. Because, I mean, it kind of... I mean, it's got to be bumming Disney out that, like, they're going to want to make a sequel to this. And it's like, how do you even do that? So like, the idea of, like, having the adventures and, like, holding off on the Sleeping Beauty legend is one way, yeah. certainly. Especially if you're wanting to make a franchise. But... I mean, just from the Sleeping Beauty standpoint, like, you don't have to make her the hero. Like, you can still redeem Maleficent at the end of the story without making her the hero. Like, you can still make her, like, regret yeah. what she did or oh, wait.
Here's,
whatever.
Here's my final scene of Maleficent. So, she comes back. Everything happens the way it did in Sleeping Beauty, right? But, mm-hmm. see, like, Maleficent's folly, ultimately, is that she doesn't believe in true love. And Philip right. could have been the antithesis to that character. Because Philip comes in and does represent true love. Not like the false, deceitful love that Charlton Copley's character did. And so Philip right. comes in and goes, I love Aurora. I love Aurora. And Maleficent's like, you don't. You're too stupid to know that love isn't even real. Come at me, bro. You're flying under a false flag. And then Philip right. comes in and actually does represent true love. And like freaking, and then freaking comes in. Maleficent still turns into a dragon. We keep that. And then the last yeah. thing Maleficent sees as she dies is Aurora waking up from true love's kiss.
And then her just realizing, oh
my God.
Copley was just a dick.
Dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like totally. That way we get to be like, oh, Maleficent. Because we don't actually want to like our, we don't actually want our villains to be good. That's what people don't...
Right.
That's what this movie didn't realize, and that's what I don't think a lot of audiences realize. You don't really want your villains to be absolved. You just want them to be complicated enough to kind of feel sorry for them. That,
right.
That's
like
why
Snape.
We love Snape. That's why we love Walter White. Yeah. Because we just right. need... We just need...
You need to see their side of things, but they don't need to be a yeah. protagonist.
And that way we can be like, oh, well, Maleficent wasn't really a bad guy. You know what I mean? But we really, in our heart of hearts, know that she was.
Like, right. I mean, at the end of the day, I think more than anyone, I'd probably have to blame Angelina Jolie on
this.
She
was good. She gave a good performance. It was just an awful story.
Well, sure, but I'm saying, like, I'm thinking the story is probably her sure. fault. Like, it's probably her, because, I mean, you know, she's like, is there a bigger female actress in Hollywood?
Maybe right like now? Meryl Streep? But like,
no, not Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep wouldn't be able to
Jennifer
get
Jennifer Lawrence?
Made. No way. Maybe Jennifer Lawrence is getting yeah. there, for sure, but I still don't even think she's at it, because Angelina Jolie is like at Julia Roberts from 10 years ago sure. level. Or Meg Ryan from 15 years ago.
But like, weirdly has never done a romantic comedy.
Yeah, which is
well, I don't,
bizarre.
I don't think it would be weird seeing Julia Roberts play like...
Nope, that's not true. Angelina Jolie has done a romantic comedy. She did that Rolling Stones one where she was a news lady. The one where like her and everyone in the news team like sang that Rolling Stones song.
Intolerable Cruelty?
No. What is that movie called? I saw it in theaters. Not because I wanted to, but because a bunch of my friends.
Who was the fella? Who was like the love interest?
I don't remember. I almost want to say it was I'm just at a loss for names now. But she had blonde hair in it. So it was like early 2000s.
She dies or like she like finds out that she has like 2 years to... I remember there was a movie where Angelina Jolie and death came into play. But it was like, your fortune cookie said that you're going to die or something like that.
No. Shoot, what was the name of that movie? And now I'm looking at her IMDb page because it's going to drive me nuts otherwise. And I'm looking at all of the names and I'm like, I don't know what any of
Yeah,
these are.
these could all be it.
Is it Life or Something Like It?
That
Yeah,
sounds like
that's it.
a romantic.
Life or Something Like It with Edward Burns was the
Oh, okay,
guy.
that's why we don't remember him. Sorry.
Yeah. A reporter interviews a psychic who tells her that she's going to die and her life is
Yep.
meaningless. Yep, that's the one. Yeah.
Kind of a dick move on his part.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't know. It was really disappointing, and I don't know. I don't. It was so weird for Disney to shoot its own story in the foot like that. Because it's one thing for Shrek to be like, "Oh, your fairy tales are bullshit. Here's what really happened." But it's like you told the story. Because like, what are they going to do with it?
Right.
And like, and now that you know that everything about that story was dumb, buy the Blu-ray.
Right. I think part of it too is that it's sort of like coming off of the heels of, which is really strange because it never goes in this direction, but I feel like it's directly coming off of the heels of Once Upon a
Sure,
Time.
where it's like the whole nostalgia for fairy tale kind of.
Yeah, but also turning it on
Yeah.
its head, like, oh, the good guys are the bad guys and the bad guys are the good guys, 'cause I'm pretty sure that happens all the
Yeah,
time on
pretty sure
that
like
show.
Peter Pan is like a hooligan and Captain Hook is like
A
Captain Sexy
hero.
Pants, you know?
Yeah, right. So like, you know, it yeah, I mean it makes sense that this is what it
Yeah.
was. It's certainly upsetting, but not surprising to me.
Life or
Unfortunately.
something. You
Life or
know,
Something Like
oh
It.
God. Okay, so I went to go see The Fault in Our Stars today. That's why I was like, I had it on my brain. And there's this
Okay.
great movie coming out, right? So the trailer starts, it's Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan.
Oh yeah. I watched like half of the trailer because I didn't want to keep watching it because I was like, oh well, I'm gonna
Yeah,
go see
it looks
this, so
great. It looks so
yeah.
funny, and Daniel Radcliffe looks like he has great comedic timing, which is such a nice discovery. And it's
Yeah.
great seeing Zoe Kazan in something, and like fucking
Yeah.
Adam Driver's in it. It just looks great. And then I'm like, what is this movie called? I want to know. And then, like, you know, it shows you, and it's called What If?
Which is a terrible
What
title.
If? I was like, oh,
Terrible
this movie's gonna
title.
bomb so hard. Because
Yep. This is a terrible
what
title.
if? It just.
What if what? What
What
if?
if the sun blows up? I like. What if?
What if mole men came?
Mole men.
Although, you know, what's funny is there's that movie which is just like it's called What If, and you're just like, okay, so where's the what if? Like what if what? And you're just like waiting for like the weird thing to come in, you know, with a title
Yeah.
like that. But it'll never come.
Like it's like, what if adventure? What if
But then
mystery? What
there's
if?
then have you seen that trailer for that movie, If I Stay?
Yeah,
I've seen that trailer twice now, and both times I'm just like, where the fuck did this come
well,
from? Like,
it's a book.
no, I know it's a book. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like halfway through the trailer, she's dead or like a
Yeah.
ghost, and it's like that David Goyer movie from like
Oh, right,
5 years
yeah.
ago. Yeah, where he's like, I'm dead, sort of. Well, I'm in a coma, and now I have to decide whether I want to be
With the
dead or
guy from
not.
Homeboy from War of the Worlds.
Yeah. And now he's in that Shameless show, I
Yeah.
think.
He's in
And he was
that
Goku.
Shameless show.
Yeah,
He
and he
was
was
Goku.
Goku.
We never must never forget. What if? I did some
Yeah.
research and it was originally supposed to be called Are We Officially Dating?
Oh, that's way
Because it's a
better.
title.
Yeah.
I'm like freaking okay. So another example of this, that movie again looks great. Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley, James Corden. You know what I mean?
Oh,
From
from
the
the
director
Once
of
director, yeah.
Once. You know what I mean? Oh my God, this looks great.
Yeah.
What's this called? Begin Again. Which is kind
Yeah.
of better than What If.
Yeah. I mean, beginning, it's so generic, but you know, at the end of the day, like Once is a pretty generic title too. Although I guess, but then again, Once also comes with the baggage of fairy tales and the fact that that movie is sort of like an anti-fairy tale, but it's a musical, but it's an anti-musical. So it's got a lot going on with its title. Begin Again just feels like the director of Once being like, I know I said Once, but
Begin Again.
It feels like a reboot of Once. That's what it seems like.
Oh, and
so he's like, let's call the reboot of Once Begin Again.
And that song and that movie was originally called Can a Song Save Your Life? Which again,
I like Once better.
Oh, no, I mean Begin Again.
Oh, that's a way better
title.
Can
a song save your life? I like Once because Once is round. Once that's looks kind of sexy and cool if you write it in cursive.
Yeah,
what
that's
if
true.
It's so jagged and like short and springy, you know?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I made a mistake. Are We Officially Dating was the original title of That Awkward Moment.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that's still a better title than That Awkward Moment.
Why did make the comedy? Or why? What's with the titles?
I
don't know.
I think that I don't know what that is. I think people have forgotten how to make romantic comedies because studios just don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Like what was the last big budget romantic comedy that wasn't a giant ensemble?
I guess the one with Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake, yes.
Which one was
Friends
that?
Friends with Strings Attached.
Oh, right. Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached. Yeah. Those two were probably... Yeah, you're probably right. Those were the last two. But didn't both of those not
they
do
did okay.
Very well?
They weren't like... They weren't like okay. Boom.
Yeah. Where's our next Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks movie?
Well, hopefully it freaking... I got mad vibes coming from Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan, but it's... No one's going to say...
Not in a movie called What If.
One for What If, please.
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, I mean, they had Joe versus the Volcano. Now, that's a fucking title.
Sleepless in Seattle. When Harry Met Sally.
That is a great title. Yeah.
There's something about Mary. I don't know.
Those are good titles. The 90s had good movie titles. Really did.
It's like that old...
I think it used up all the good ones.
Because now we're just saying half a sentence.
Yeah.
There's going to be a movie coming out called She Said. I bet money before the decade's over. It's like, She Said. Or, This Happened.
What if Daniel Radcliffe had an American
accent? He doesn't. He has an English accent. Yeah, so cool. It's so cool watching him...
It's so cool watching
him riff in his natural accent.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I want to see Horns. Yeah. That's supposed to finally come out in October. Finally. It's like been 2 years since they shot it,
I think. He's been busy.
Yeah, he has. He has.
Paul Rudd. Amy Poehler. Desk Rat.
Oh, I guess they make those. I guess they I think what the thing is with rom-coms now is either they're these little indie things, they're giant ensembles, or they're just comedies that have a romantic element.
I think it's
to
because rom-coms have become so maligned in pop culture where it's they're fake, they're not real, and so the audience has kind of become smarter than them. And so Hollywood's we still have to do this.
I think that's ultimately going to be the problem for They Came Together is that they're spoofing a genre that isn't really a genre right now.
Well, they're spoofing something that everyone already knows is stupid,
right? But I guess that's what they did last time too, though. Wet Hot American Summer, it wasn't like people were making a ton of camp movies at the time. And so they're always about 10 years off.
Or even bad romantic comedies make fun of bad romantic comedies. Like the one with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. The whole joke was like, aren't romantic comedies dumb? Let's go do that.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
Well,
it was so glib.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Don't you hate it how like only supermodels get to be in these movies? Said Mila Kunis to Justin Timberlake. Why can't they show real people falling in love?
That's always funny. Or it's like, you know, in movies for some reason, Mila Kunis is Hollywood average. And I'm like, okay, Hollywood.
She was just an average, stunning achievement in human evolution. He was an Adonis.
Oh, man.
I want to write a movie where they're both aware of their looks. And like no one's like really aware of their look, because like everyone's a little self-deprecating. We all have those friends that are like really attractive, but are kind of like, oh, I'm so out of shape. You know what I mean? But it'd be cool to write a romantic comedy where two people are falling in love, and the friends are just like, well, that makes sense. Two of the hottest fucking people I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like all like shows and movies, they always do that. Where they just like they cast a person who's obviously ridiculously attractive, and then they try and tell us that they're ugly, like Nick on New Girl, where like there's like a fat joke about Nick on New Girl every week, and you're like, you gotta be kidding me, right? They're like, yeah, you could afford to lose like 15 pounds, and I'm like, no, we can't.
He doesn't have a six pack, therefore he's like,
yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, like, I'm fairly certain neither does, what's his name?
Oh, Schmidt?
Schmidt. I don't think he has a six-pack either, does he? I know he's fit. I don't think he has a six-pack.
I don't know. I'd have to Google image Nick Schmidt from New Girl shirtless again.
Again.
Like you do. But yeah.
I'll have to make another Tumblr post about that.
Check the tag. See if they've updated. Schmidt shirtless. Oh man. But yeah, it's kind of like with and it's so weird, like looks are so weird in movies. And as an actor, as someone that's kind of currently studying acting, looks are weird. Because like then you have like Shailene Woodley. Do you remember that awful few weeks where they announced Shailene Woodley was Mary Jane Watson, and then like those goblins on like Ain't It Cool News were like, oh, she's not attractive enough. And it's like, what do you want? Like,
yeah, they want,
because then they also
imagine, I imagine all internet trolls as Michael Bay without success. Sure. And so, like, that's what they want. Like, they don't want a girl that's going to, like, be able to act well or anything. They just want, like, you know, boobs.
But then they also hate when Megan Fox was announced as April O'Neil. They were like, oh, that's not April. She's just, like, a dumb suit.
Yeah, but they hate her because she claims to be a dork or a nerd or whatever. Like, so they get that hate. Even though, like, if you let her talk about that stuff for more than 5 seconds, she obviously is way into that stuff. Like, you can't fake that level of detail that she'll go into.
An enthusiastic person.
yeah God forbid, man. Yeah, like Megan Fox, like I've never really minded her. I don't know, like I think she's kind of funny.
She was good,
like,
she was good,
you know,
this is 40. I was like, oh, you're actually really good at, she's funny,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Transformers,
I don't know, I think she gets
what's
a bad rap.
Good acting in Transformers, like, I don't know.
I don't think there is such a thing. But I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know. I'm fascinated to see what that Ninja Turtles movie looks like.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. I just weird how not invested I am, considering like when I was a child, I was really into the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think the reason is that, like, I love the new cartoon so much that I don't really care, because I'm just like, well, at least I'll have this.
It's like, remember when they announced a Doctor Who movie? And I was like, why? Yeah. It's already yeah. in the zeitgeist.
And then it yeah. didn't happen. What happened with that? Where did that even come
it just
from?
Kind of dissolved.
Yeah.
Oh, David Yates is going to do it.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know. Now he's doing something else. I think some fairy tale.
If you're a director in Hollywood, you're either directing a Cinderella movie or a Jungle Book movie. I think every director in Hollywood has a Jungle Book movie, a Cinderella movie, and a Peter Pan movie happening.
Yeah, Peter Pan.
And God.
There's so many fairy tale movies coming.
Yeah.
So many. And now there's multiple Beauty and the Beasts happening soon. I'm just waiting for Aladdin with all white people. That's going to happen soon. That's coming. I'm worried about the Jungle Book movies just because I'm one of those, at least one of those is going to be cast with entirely white people.
I'm excited for the Jon Favreau movie just because I feel like Jungle Book was supposed to be his new restaurant after the food truck. And I really want that to be successful so we can keep the metaphor going, you know?
Yeah, I do, but I've never really liked the Jungle Book. I always hated it when I was a kid because I think part of the reason I hated it when I was a kid was because, one, I've never been much for jungles as a setting. But two, it's jungles and deserts. I don't care.
Oceans,
though. Oceans, all cool. about. Yeah, definitely. And villages and stuff. I'm all for that. But because even Aladdin, I love Aladdin, but they're rarely out in the desert.
Yeah, they would
Aladdin.
Die.
Yeah, they have a town Agrabah. That they're in and everything. Yeah. But I think the real reason I never liked Jungle Book is because I didn't understand why, Baloo wasn't flying planes.
Oh, really?
Because Tailspin,
I was more confused the reverse. Why is Baloo flying planes?
Oh, yeah. See, I was all about Tailspin and Chippendale Rescue Rangers. That was my jam.
Oh, Chippendale Rescue Rangers is cool. Where's that?
I'm waiting for them to make the CG movie of that. I'm sure that's happening. Yeah. CG with the actors, with live-action actors.
See that. Freaking get...
I'm sure that's happening.
Happen. Anna Kendrick is Gadget.
Right. I mean, it's just it's like the next Alvin and the Chipmunks, right?
But I prefer Chippendale because they actually are going out and having adventures, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, I would hope that they would just not do the live action CG mix. I feel the Smurfs movies sort of killed that. And they're gonna stop doing that now.
They should just do an animated Chippendale.
Just do CG.
Can you imagine CG DuckTales?
That'd be great. Yeah. I hate how we're still in a society though where a new animated thing gets announced and it's CG animated and everybody's just and I'm have you been to a theater? Have you watched cartoons in the past 10 years? They're all CG animated and a lot of them are really great. Most of them are really great.
Frozen was kind of my moment where I was okay. I would love it if Disney announced a major 2D animated movie. But I'm all
sure. But they tried it and it bombed.
So that's
it. You know?
What do you guys want?
You can't say that they didn't try because they definitely tried. So I don't know. I don't understand this mentality of just hating on a thing because it's a type of thing. I don't know. I think they announced the Flintstones, right? They're doing a Flintstones CG animated movie. The Flintstones or the Jetsons, or maybe they're going to do both.
See,
I
don't know. DuckTales and Chippendale, the Rescue Rangers, as opposed to Peanuts, because Chippendale go out and do stuff. DuckTales, it's oh my god, they could go to space, they could go to Duck Germany, fight Duck Nazis. Right. But with Peanuts, in order to make a movie plot for Peanuts, you almost kind of have to betray what the Peanuts are about.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. I'm a little I really like the animation style of it. From that teaser, I was oh, that looks really great. But I don't know. I'm just
A guy, a greedy land developer is going to build a shopping mall over Lucy's psychiatrist office. What?
Oh, it's just going to be sort of a parody of itself, right?
Looking for treasure. Like, no, Peanuts is about two children meeting on opposite ends of the sidewalk and having an existential conversation. And then they...
I mean, it's literally South Park. I mean, that's what South Park's based on. Yeah, look at South Park. It's Peanuts.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Like, especially the early days before it got really ridiculous. Like, everybody looks like Peanuts characters.
Yeah, they're just kind of talking.
Yeah. They come from opposite sides of the street. They talk.
They walk away.
They go their separate ways. Yeah. I mean, the only difference is that the adults don't, you know, sound like horns.
That's a Peanuts movie I would write. It's like Charlie Brown. It's like, I brought you all here. We all remember 10 years ago we were clawing at each other. It was madness. They just do the trailer for Donald Glenn. But no, and then I want Charlie Brown to be like, guys, we've all forgotten, and it's time we remember. We're going to find our goddamn parents, and we're going to bring them back. That's a Peanuts movie I would see. They venture out of their town. Just find, like, where are moms and dads? What happened to them? Do you even remember them, Linus? Sometimes I can remember your face.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what that movie's going to be, what the plot of it is.
Remember that Winnie the Pooh movie from a few years ago?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I took my nephew to go see that because I was like, what are you guys going to do? And it was cool. It was just like some vignettes.
Wasn't it like barely
an
hour?
Yeah, it was like maybe an hour and change. Like, Tigger falls down a hole. Piglet, like, loses his house, has to move into the city. Nah, but, like, yeah. It was just, like, it was very gentle. And I was like, this is nice. Yeah. It's been a while since I saw a movie that wasn't about, like, a prophecy. You know what I mean?
Oh, that, there's something you could do. You could have Charlie Brown, like, move to the city.
Okay.
Like, that's, and then, like, he wants to go home and back to his friends. Yeah, there's something.
That would...
That's like a big enough Peanut story for a movie, right?
I mean, he's not trying to find the all spark, but it's also
he's trying to find his parents' voices.
Yeah, like, can't understand.
It's called the all spark,
and so it's like he can meet like city Peanuts.
And Snoopy could meet like city dogs and
like a cat, maybe like a cat. Whatnot.
Yeah. Has there been a cat?
I don't think I've ever met a cat.
Yeah, I don't think there are cats in the Peanuts. That'd be interesting. Oh,
yeah. And then they could...
introduce a cat.
It's like, it's supposed to be this big deal. A cat.
Yeah. Huh. Woodstock's just like, shit.
Get Snoopy to get voiced by like David Spade or something awful.
Oh, God. Oh man. All right. Well, I guess we should focus.
Yeah, it's not right now.